Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International, and we're looking forward to our time together with you today. We're going to be talking about more life-changing, marriage-changing principles, principles that will truly make you experience a marriage heart to heart.
So we hope you have your pencil and paper ready to take some notes for those important principles today.
We're talking about an enduring commitment today. That word, enduring, is a very important word, isn't it, dear?
It's an absolute.
It's a forever kind of word, an enduring commitment. You know, most of us, as husband and wife, we entered into a marriage vow, or vows, pledging ourselves that we would love, comfort, honor, cherish, to have and to hold from this day forward. And these vows we solemnly promised were before God and man.
We said more than that when we got married.
That's right.
Not only did we pledge ourselves, but we put conditions. We agreed to conditions upon those, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part.
That's right.
That's complete. And I think that's important that we establish this enduring commitment, that it is a complete commitment.
And I think it's important, as we're talking about this enduring commitment today, it's important to realize that this marriage vow was said before God. It's not just a vow that we made to each other. It was a vow to God. You know, and that, I think that the enduring commitment has lost some of its endurance in the day and age that we live in. This idea of till death do us part. I mean, we've known people, it has nothing to do with death that causes them to part. It might better have been said in their vows, until you cross my will and I don't feel like living with you anymore, and that's the end of my vow. But that's not an enduring commitment. And we don't really live with a throwaway marriage today, even though it sometimes seems that way in our society.
That's right. It's staggering when we think of the statistics between those marriages that are done in a Christian church that end in divorce, and compare that with the world. They're one and the same.
Yes.
And it's sad, because we have the answer in Jesus Christ. We have the answer to have a successful marriage as we learn to surrender our hearts to Him and allow Him to work in my heart and through me to you. In that process, then we can have that harmony in the marriage. But if we don't accept that, then we are like anyone else. And we find the marriages, for small reasons, and they always start out small, mm-hmm. and they grow bigger and bigger until it eventually ends in divorce and a lot of heartache and a lot of pain.
That's right. It's interesting when we go back, you know, to our parents' generation, and even back before that, 50 or 60 years ago, it was very unusual. It was not like it is today, where half or more of our marriages are ending in divorce. Why do you think it was that marriages back in those days just didn't break up as easily as they do today?
I believe because this one factor that they knew when they spoke those words, that it was an enduring commitment. I am committing myself to love you, to honor you, to cherish you, to comfort you through our whole life together. There was no question that it's going to be until a certain point when I'm tired of you, or somebody comes along that I like better, or you're not the man I used to know. It comes to that commitment. And that's one thing that I think has been a blessing to us in our personal marriage. First of all, we had the example in our own parents. We saw our parents work through challenges and difficulties.
That's right.
And not give up. And we saw those relationships last until death separated them. And that was a foundational point for us in our marriage. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we had that example. But even if we don't have that example, we can be the ones to make the change for our future generation.
Amen. You know, it's sad that even in some of the weddings that are taking place today in young people, that even in the way the vows are said, it's interesting and in some cases tragic that some of these young people are actually writing their own vows, which I have nothing, you know, I'm not against mm-hmm. writing our own vows. But what they're doing is they're taking out some of the enduring principles of this marriage relation. They are taking away from it and actually making it easier for them to get out of the marriage if things don't work.
But regardless of what the vow says, it still stands before God.
That's right.
When we enter into that relationship in marriage, that's a commitment we've made with that person, mm-hmm. but it's a vow before God that we will hold on to. And for us in our marriage, when we went through the early struggles in our marriage, that was an anchor point for us. It wasn't an option. I mean, we had disappointments. We were, you know, perhaps discontented or whatever our, you know, however we related to it. But it was not an option for us. We didn't consider that, oh, well,
that's right.
He's not treating me the way I thought he would treat me. I think I'm going to look for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's important that people understand that wherever you find yourself today in this enduring commitment, and that can be a lot of different places and circumstances, one of the things that you can do today is to reestablish those vows.
That's right.
You know, we've done that, and we want to encourage you that even though your wedding may have been, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it is, you can go back and you can reestablish those vows. You can make a commitment and find an anchor point that when the difficulties come, that you will not consider it an option, that you will step out of this marriage. You know, it's interesting that Ecclesiastes 9:9 says that we should live joyfully with the wife that we love. You know, that has become my experience with you, to live joyfully with you. And you know that there's nobody I'd rather be with than
you. I know that. And I know it's a joy to live with me, even when I make some mistakes from time to time. You know, it's not that we have a perfect, flawless marriage, but we know how to humble ourselves, to say I'm sorry, to ask to be forgiven, and then move forward.
That's right.
And this is an important key, which we're going to actually talk about for a whole program just on that one topic alone. But it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. You know, we've all changed. And so change isn't the issue. I think of one person I know quite well. You know, her life was changed dramatically in an accident. And when the accident happened, you know, she was paralyzed from her waist down. That's a major change. Mm. And her words to her husband when he met her were, "If you're going to leave me now."
I remember that.
And sadly, he left. I mean, that's almost beyond comprehension.
It's shocking.
This is when he needed to, more than at any time, reach out and love and serve his wife. And she has spent the rest of her life as a single woman because she changed. Change isn't the issue. We're always changing. Change,
that's right,
for the good or for the bad, physically or whatever. But we can't be motivated by change. We have to understand how change happens, and then we have to allow Christ to change my heart. And that's the important change we need to focus on.
That's right. You know, the sad thing about that illustration, that family that we know personally, the change represented to him what he thought would affect his career, and she no longer fit his lifestyle.
So it was all a me focus then.
Yeah, he was in the me focus, like what we were talking about before. The me focus. And he would not choose to move out of that. Nor would he choose to recognize that no matter what difficulties, no matter what misunderstandings, no matter what painful circumstances we go through, that unless we have a biblical basis. And I know this is not popular today, even in Christianity.
That's
unless
right.
we have a biblical basis for divorce, which is very clearly defined in the Bible, okay? Very clearly defined as adultery. Mm-hmm. Unless we have that biblical basis, we don't need to even start thinking about getting out of a marriage relation.
That's right. We have the opportunity to begin to change and work on it, to improve it, and not to let it be destroyed.
We certainly could have gone down that track in our own marriage.
Yeah, if we didn't have that anchor point at the beginning, that enduring commitment.
That's right.
I don't know if we would have lasted a year, honey.
That's right. I don't know. Some of our viewers may not have seen that program. But I tell you, as we were learning to become one, it was not what some would call a marriage made in heaven.
We knew it was.
We knew it was, but it didn't appear that way on the outside, did it?
No.
And so we could have gone down that very same thought process. And it's what leads many people into that fatal cycle. Mm-hmm. That ends in divorce. And it wasn't an option for us. And I'm thankful it wasn't an option for us, because we knew that God had brought our lives together. And we also know couples that we know personally, that we've counseled with, who felt they had nothing in common, everything had turned, and yet those same people are now deeply in love and so thankful that they did not take the option of divorce.
That's right. And even couples where an adulterous relationship has happened in the marriage, we've seen those couples who are willing to let God heal and restore that home. Amen. And many homes. And so just because there is a biblical reason doesn't mean that it's the only option that we have. We can also choose to go and allow Christ to heal our heart and heal that
That's
home.
Right.
And it's a beautiful testimony. And yes, trust can be regained, and the home can be secure in love.
Well, we also want to give the positive side, because we've met so many families that have endured.
That's right.
Long hardships, gone through very life-changing experiences, through tragic accidents, through difficult circumstances, and they have not chosen to give up, because the illness in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor. We know people that have experienced terrible financial tragedy, and those people have continued with this enduring commitment, and they've found the rich blessing that God brings and the happiness of an unwavering love and devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting.
It is.
Even in this generation.
That's right. It's possible.
That's right.
Because all things are possible with God.
And it's the best. So, have you ever thought what would happen if I became paralyzed?
I would find it my greatest joy to serve you.
You really feel that way?
Absolutely.
And you know, I believe that.
You know why? Go ahead.
You know why I believe that?
Because I demonstrate it to you every day.
Yeah, because I know the difference between what we used to be when we were in our me focus, the mm-hmm. selfish focus. And I've seen the evidence of the enduring commitment. And you wouldn't even go down that thought process, because you've seen that when you've been willing to die to self, to your selfishness, and let God's way work out, and when I've been willing to die to my selfishness, it's always better than we ever expected it to be.
Yes, and often I've told you, I don't know how it can get any better. Sometimes I tell you, I don't even know how I can express my love to you more. And, you know, we don't live in paradise. Mm-hmm. We still have challenges and trials like every couple faces, from outside and sometimes from within ourselves, but we've seen the joy of allowing Christ to work in our hearts and to keep us as one couple happy before the Lord.
And what a blessing that happiness is. But we need to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about how the First Corinthians experience, that love chapter, how it affects our enduring commitment to one another. We want a marriage that lasts forever. Welcome back to Marriage Heart to Heart. We've been talking about how we can have an enduring commitment, one that lasts forever, one that does not give up easily, one that is not easily chafed and irritated. And that's really what 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. But even though that's the love chapter, we can't do it apart from Jesus Christ. We need Him working in us. That means we need to surrender. So if we're going to experience an enduring commitment, we need to understand how to make that 1 Corinthians 13 practical. So, Elaine, I'd like you to share with them, how does this work?
Well, the thought that comes to me is the conclusion of what love is. It says love bears all things, that's an absolute. Love believes all things. It hopes all things and it endures all things. Mm. And we have to begin to put our focus there in that area. That's what true love is. I'm not capable of generating that love in myself. My human love doesn't bear all things. My human love doesn't believe all things. I certainly don't hope all things, and I don't endure all things. But by asking God to put His love in my heart, I have the ability, because my weakness is now made perfect in His strength. And Amen. Through Him, I can receive that divine love in my heart, that no matter what happens, whether how little or how big, that love can still be in my heart. And many times, when it's the little things, again, that's the little things that trip people up. And for you viewers out there, you know from your personal experience, it's the little things that cause the greatest agitation. It's not the major crisis that happens once or twice in 3 years. It's the little day-to-day things that get under our skin and irritate us that begin to destroy us as couples. And so that's where God's love needs to operate, is in the day-to-day little things.
Amen.
And so for me, what I have found helpful is when I start to feel my human love failing, I ask God to give me His love that will hope and believe and endure and bear all things. Mm-hmm. Not because you're a bad person, but because so often it's my own perspective that's off. And when I pray that kind of prayer, I see a difference in the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I see a difference in you, because now I'm seeing you through His eyes and not just my eyes.
I appreciate that, dear. And you, I obviously am receiving the benefit from that when that happens. I too have found the blessing in asking God, as I have my quiet time with the Lord in the morning, Lord, put in me Your heaven-born love. Because this does not happen for us naturally or spontaneously. Our human love does wear very thin. Our human love, and I've often said, you know, our human love works well when everything seems to look right, feel right, smell right, everything's perfect.
When I'm perfect,
you
huh?
know, and that's not where real love needs to endure.
That's right.
It's not hard to endure there. And so we do need to pray. You know, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing.
And we've all proved it.
Oh, we have proved it. And why not get out of some of these ruts and start working with Christ to have this enduring commitment, rekindle this enduring commitment.
That's right. And one of the things that I think is important that I know I have done, and we've talked about it some together too, we've done together as a couple, we've identified the weak areas in our marriage.
That's right.
That has caused us to stumble, that has caused us to have human love wear thin, shall I say. Mm-hmm. We've identified those areas, and then we've looked to strengthen those areas. So that's one thing that has really helped us. But if I begin to focus on all the things that you do in our marriage that causes our marriage to be weak, I'm in trouble. Mm. Because then the focus is all you, and it's, you know, what you've done, and I'm not really allowing God to show me my part. I can't change you. And this is very important, because mm-hmm. this is an area that happens in marriages. They want to try to change the other person to make them just perfect to fit what I want. Mm-hmm. I can't make you what I want. I can only let God change me to be what He wants me to be for you. So identifying those weaknesses have been more beneficial on my part, to see my weaknesses in this and not focus on your weaknesses and ask the Lord to change my weaknesses. That's one area. And then also on the positive, and I think for every negative thing we identify, we have to identify and look for the positive. And that's where many couples don't spend enough time.
That's right. It becomes a very negative focus. In fact, some of the things that we've heard, we just don't see anything eye to eye. Now, that really wasn't the way it was when you were courting one another, when you were having that wonderful time together and you couldn't wait to be married. Somewhere between I do and where it is now, where I don't feel like it anymore, somewhere in between those two points, some things started happening. We just don't see anything eye to eye. Well, that's because if the eyes are focused on me and your eyes are focused on you, we're not going to see anything
eye to
eye. And so, people say, you know, we just can't agree anymore. We just don't seem to be able to agree on things anymore. We can't come to decisions.
I know some women have told me, he just doesn't take any time for the kids. He's just totally removed from the family. It's like he's living a life and the rest of us are out here. But rather than condemning him for that and ending a marriage over that, let's look for ways to draw him in. What can we do as wives? Mm-hmm. What can we do as mothers with our children to encourage father and husband to want to be a part of the family? Mm-hmm. You weren't always that involved with the family the way I would have liked you to be. Now, you were more than most men, and I'm grateful for that. But there were things I could do practically, and so I started looking at the things I could do to help you to become more involved with the family. And one of the things was stop complaining so much about the children, you know, and start giving positive reports so you're going to want to be with the children.
Makes a huge difference.
It does. So we've all heard the complaints, but we also, and we can identify those, but we have to also focus on the positive things. And that's very important.
That's right. You know, some people say, well, I'm tired of living in this mess. I'm embarrassed to have anybody come home. I mean, these are real things, and they become walls that get bigger and bigger, and they become mountains sometimes to the situation. Well, rather than that focus, as you're saying, Elaine, rather than taking that focus, let's sit down together and say, why do we have this mess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If people would just take time to sit down together, recognizing that we are not going to walk out of this marriage, we are not going to continue, but to prayerfully go to God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I be different? How can I respond differently? And look for how we could begin to break these things down. But no matter what those reasons are that we've just discussed here, some of these statements that people make, these are not good enough reasons for divorce.
No, there's no reason.
They're not good enough. And reasons even less than that are creating divorce scenarios today.
So the change that we have to be willing to do is the change that comes in our own self and in our own way, our own perspectives, our own attitudes, our own ways of thinking. And so if the place is a mess, instead of the husband coming home and say, I can't stand living here, why doesn't he look for ways to encourage her and appreciate something about her that will help motivate her?
Mm-hmm.
And for the wife, why don't you serve your husband and understand, look at him and say, because I love you and care for you, I want to do this for you. I want to keep a nice home for you because I want you to come home and be with us.
Mm-hmm. You know, change is often, something has changed, and so now the change is viewed negatively. You know, well, you weren't like this before. I want to encourage each one of you that change is going to happen. And rather than use change as a negative direction towards breaking the marriage vow, towards removing the enduring commitment, I want to encourage each one of you that when change happens, it can be an impetus for sitting down and saying, what are we willing to do together to continue change, but continue the change in a positive direction? You know, Matthew 19:6 says, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And we've shared this before. Too often it's the husband or wife of both that are actually creating the separation here. So I just want to encourage us as we move from here that we renew, if we haven't for a long time, that enduring commitment. Go back and look at those marriage vows. Go back to what we've pledged and really renew that. If you need to, take your wife by the hand and go back and renew those vows.
So that's a challenge to them,
right? That's a personal challenge.
We've done that ourselves, and we still do that. We just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and we renewed them all over again.
That's right.
And we don't have to wait till our anniversary. It can be a daily renewal in the heart and an expression to the other person. And then we have to also look for those areas in myself that have weakened that commitment. Not in you, but in myself.
That's right.
And what am I willing to do? What are you willing to do to change that? Find those areas, identify those areas, and then ask God to change your heart that you can be a positive influence in the marriage.
And then it's very good to also go back and talk about the things we've done right.
That's right.
Where we've really strengthened the commitment and encourage each other in that. And I think the best thing that we can do in the marriage, in renewing that pledge, is to start with the encouraging things first.
Absolutely.
Honey, would you like to close us as we pray together?
Father, help us to make this commitment again to you and to each other that we will be in our marriage forever. Amen. And we thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
We'll look forward to seeing you next time when we talk about what is true love. We want you to experience a marriage heart to heart. And we know that that is possible through Jesus Christ. May God bless you.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.